Over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome to a Friday edition of Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian, one more afternoon without the big guy, but that's okay. You're listening to the program on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM. We're having a busy day here in the Solidarity Realty Studios. Appreciate Evan filling in on the board again for another edition of Dueling Tangents with Evan joining me as producer, and I'm joined this afternoon. You're also listening to us on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. Big busy day over there as well, which is why Brian is out in the field, you know, making some adjustments. But we're joined here in studio by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Matt, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing fine, Luke. It's always great to see you, and thanks for inviting me on again.
Yeah, I really appreciate you joining me because you and I had talked yesterday, and we anticipated today's news breaking today. Well, to be fair, the court warned us as well. We got word that the decision on the absentee ballot Dropbox case was going to be coming down today. But I was suspicious of whether or not we were going to get a morning announcement or if we were going to have to kind of sit and wait and anticipate a Friday night news drop like the court likes to do sometimes. But we got it this morning. You were correct. You had a feeling it was coming out this morning. And so let's dive into this subject right away, because it seems to me, and you represent the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, working for good government in Wisconsin, transparent government, and little d democracy.
That's right.
Today's decision seems, I saw a headline over at the New York Times. This is making national news. This court is making national news. But the headline was, this is a loss for Democrats and urban voters.
Well, I think it's a loss for democracy. Anytime a court is erecting barriers to the exercise of our precious freedom to vote, it's not a good thing, no matter how you identify yourself, Democrat or Republican or independent in a democracy. I mean, we should make voting accessible to every citizen. And this decision is just going to make it harder. It's going to make it harder for people in rural areas, as Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, the good Bradley, noted in her dissent, because it won't allow people. You've got to deliver. You personally have to deliver that absentee ballot. If you're not putting in the mail, you personally have to deliver it to the clerk's office. Now, a lot of places in rural Wisconsin don't have a clerk's office that's open 9 to 5, 5 days a week,
yeah,
or open on weekends.
Or just an office in general. I heard that there are certain local clerks in rural areas of northern Wisconsin and other areas of rural Wisconsin that just don't have county or city, town, village clerk office. They don't have one specific designated spot. And there's even clerks that go door to door and accept it from the voters in those municipalities, because we have a ton of clerks in this state. We were one of the most decentralized voting
right
networks.
There are 1,800 municipalities with their own clerks.
Yeah.
And in rural Wisconsin, a lot of those clerks don't have regular office hours.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't, if you've waited, you know, 3 days before the election, you don't trust the U.S. Postal Service to get that absentee ballot in on time, what are you supposed to do? So it hurts rural voters. It hurts urban voters, because in a lot of cities, you got to wait in long lines.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay had ridiculous lines one election. Milwaukee has long lines some elections. To reduce the lines, absentee ballot drop boxes were a great thing. You don't have to stand in line to vote on election day. You can put your absentee ballot in a drop box anytime. And now you've got to take your absentee ballot down to the drop box in the municipal clerk's building in Milwaukee. You can, you know, imagine how many people will be there on election day or the
still
day
gonna be a long
the night
line
before
then, yeah,
election day. So those lines are going to get longer in urban areas, and for voters in rural areas, you know, you're going to be SOL if you've waited to put your absentee ballot in the mailing box. So those were two of the problems. decision. The other one is it won't. If you're a person with severe physical disabilities, mm-hmm. this court said that you have to personally get that absentee ballot to the clerk's office if you miss putting it in the mail. And they're agnostic as to whether you can get assistance in putting it in the mail, which right. is another weird thing.
They just ignored that aspect, which was interesting to me because the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, who was arguing on behalf of two Milwaukee area voters, I believe.
Tygun is the name of the first plaintiff. But yeah, they grabbed a couple Republican voters
that could slap a name onto this case. Absentee ballot drop boxes affected our votes. And the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty loves these kind of, you know, conflicts. So they of course took them in and represented them in this case. But the lawyers on their behalf arguing made it clear that they were like, hey, you have to answer this. There was even questions during oral arguments saying, well, if me and my sibling, me and my brother walk down to the end of our driveway and we and he hands me his absentee ballot, but I'm the one that puts it in the mailbox, is that illegal? And the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty lawyers wanted a decision on that, but this court didn't do that. They kind of ignored it, which is pretty interesting because I thought we were going to get some guidance.
Yeah,
on that,
they punted on that. I mean, Rick Essenberg, who heads the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, said, yes, if my wife and I are filling out our absentee ballots at the dining room table and I take both of them to the mailbox, her ballot is invalid because she didn't personally deposit it in the mail.
Which is par for the course, because correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't it like Trump's attorney Jim Tropas here in Dane County was trying to get his absentee ballot thrown out as well in a different court case that there was argued? So
he was trying to get absentee ballots thrown out, but he voted by absentee ballots. Yeah, so he was going to disqualify his own absentee ballot, maybe.
Fascinating arguments made by these people.
I mean, it's absurd on one level that you can't, but they're agnostic on that now as to whether I can bring my wife's absentee ballot into the mail.
But for people with a severe disability, that is a very important guideline because if there are voters in Wisconsin, the most vulnerable voters in Wisconsin cannot take their ballots to a mailbox or the municipal clerk.
Yeah.
And a lot of this back and forth fighting over absentee ballot voting in the wake of the 2020 election, I truly don't believe that we would be here if Trump had more votes, had actually gotten more votes.
Well, there's no way we would have been here. And the amazing thing about this decision, and I focused on it in my commentary. I haven't seen other people focusing on it much. The three most right-wing justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court were relitigating that Trump court case in December of 2020 here, mm-hmm. Going after Hagedorn, the other conservative who's not quite as far out there as the others, saying that was wrongly decided and that actually the three most conservative ones were still perfectly willing to throw out thousands upon thousands of ballots cast by Wisconsin citizens under the directions of the Wisconsin Elections Commission and their clerks just because they'd used absentee ballot drop boxes. I mean, it's just amazing.
And I think that
their willingness to disenfranchise people here in Wisconsin.
It segues into another interesting aspect of the majority opinion's opinion in this case is it's long, 119 pages, and they cite things like Saddam Hussein
and Kim Jong Un make a couple cameos here.
Yeah, they reference those as if that municipal clerks in the state of Wisconsin that set up a locked drop box for voters to be able to drop off their absentee ballots to. They equated it to dictators stuffing ballot boxes in foreign countries. And I just find not only are they making those comparisons, but like you said, they're trying to relitigate this court case that was already decided. And it scares me that the fact that maybe these justices want to try to resurrect that court case or they're signaling that they're in favor of that. If we get a different conservative justice, but 2023 is looming in this. And
well, that's the headline as far as I'm concerned. Look, everybody in Wisconsin, the elections for Wisconsin Supreme Court are really important. It really matters who we choose to put on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And guess what? We've got a huge election coming up next April for the Wisconsin Supreme Court because Justice Rogensack, one of the far right justices, is retiring. And she was one of the three who said, you know, maybe we should have just tossed thousands upon thousands of ballots into the trash can. So you know, they're still sowing doubt about the legitimacy of the 2020 elections, mm-hmm. which in dissent, Justice Ann Walsh Bradley really spanked him for. You know, she said there's no evidence at all that in this record that the use of drop boxes fosters voter fraud of any kind. None. And she called their argument nonsense. So, you know, there's a lot of ugliness between the justices, and actually even between some of the conservative justices. Justice the bad Bradley, Justice Rebecca Bradley, was throwing knives at Justice Hagedorn. I got to give Justice Hagedorn a little credit, even though he voted for the majority on the merits of the two things. At least his decision, if you read it, it's temperate. It's sensible in some ways. It's not nasty. He suggests that maybe this isn't the best law, but maybe the legislature should write a clearer law and a better law. So at least...
He's holding out that there's some good faith out there that the Republican-led legislature would do something like that.
Well, at least he's acting like a decent justice with decent temperament.
Which is interesting because he signed on to the majority in this piece, but then he was the swing vote in two other decisions that came out of the Wisconsin Supreme Court earlier today. And I know I don't want to dive too far into those, but it fascinates me that... he's okay signing on to the crazy claims of Rebecca Bradley's opinion here. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, she was the main author?
Yeah, I mean, he signed on to about every other paragraph. I mean, you know, he was picking and choosing what he wanted to affiliate with as far as his crazy far-right colleagues. But there's some hope that, as you say, in some of the other decisions and some of the prior decisions he's made, that he's at least willing to consider things not from a straight ideological straitjacket position. But look, we've got this election coming up in April. It's really going to be crucial.
Yeah, it's definitely putting all the more emphasis on the fact that we can't depend necessarily on assuming that Justice Hagedorn is going to make the right choices every time, because in my opinion, he came down on the letter of the law, but the fact that the initial guidance
maybe
out of the Wisconsin Elections Commission was to approve the absentee ballot drop boxes without the legislature acting during the pandemic, I don't know. So Hagedorn's a very interesting character.
Yeah, I mean, it may not be that he was right on the law. Justice Ann Walsh Bradley had a good argument as to why drop boxes were justified. But, you know, read the decision, see for yourself.
Yeah, folks, this is Dueling Tangents. I am joined by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We will be right back after a short, quick break. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus Brian this afternoon, but I am joined by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And if you've got questions for Matt or I, you can give us a call, 844-967-2789. You're listening on Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison and the Shaw 101 FM in Waukesha. But Matt, it's been a pretty big week for, and a couple of weeks when you want to take into factor the U.S. Supreme Court as well, but we're getting a ton of these court decisions right now. They're wrapping up their sessions for the year. It's ruling season or whatever you want to call it. I don't really know what.
And they're tardy too. It would have been nice to have these a week or two earlier.
They were supposed to be done in June. Correct me.
Especially the one on drop boxes and assistance in delivery of absentee ballots, because after all, we've got our absentee ballots. If you vote for our absentee ballot, you got your absentee ballot in the mail a couple of weeks ago. And what are you supposed to do with it? They weren't telling us for a couple of weeks.
Well, don't drop it off in a drop box, apparently. Yeah, that is the answer. Yeah. Because, less than 5 weeks away for this election. But we also got rulings on a number of other cases across the Wisconsin Supreme Court on a number of different issues. I think one of the ones that jumped out to me biggest to start was the decision about whether or not local health officials can make unilateral decisions when it came to pandemic response. Now we're still in the COVID-19 pandemic. This BA5 variant of COVID-19 seems
supposed to be really nasty, very transmissible.
It's serious. It's spreading, and it is jumping previous immunity as well, is what I'm being told. So it seems like, yes, it's in more of the back of people's mind now because it's summer. Hey, you're trying to enjoy. You're out of the pandemic mindset. But this ruling kind of brings that back to the forefront of whether or not local health officials can make decisions, essentially. And Brian Hagedorn sided with the liberal-leaning justices on this one because, like I said, he's kind of an enigma. He had a lot of different interesting decisions today.
This is why I admire this guy because, I mean, he started, he was elected as a far-right social conservative, but he tends, from my reading of the decisions, to take them one at a time and not to totally respond ideologically. And here he sided again with the liberals on the question as to whether Dane County's public health department could issue public health emergencies.
Yeah.
And whether it was right to do so during the pandemic. And he said that they could, which is a great thing. This is what they're supposed to do. This is what our public health officials are allowed to do by statute and should do because of their professional qualifications.
Yeah, and
warn us about what's going on with the pandemic. Tell us what to do. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I still think you should wear masks indoors if you're in a crowded place, especially with this new variant that's even more transmissible than the last. But, you know, they're able to tell us what should happen. They can issue a mandate or an emergency order to protect us. That's what they're there for. And Hagedorn sided with the liberal justices in affirming that, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's definitely a good thing. And so I do want to applaud him for decisions like this. I'm almost curious, though, if the other conservative justices trying, you know, kind of working the ref in their opinions, saying, like, throwing those knives at Hagedorn, like you said.
I don't think that's helping them, though. If I'm Hagedorn and they're throwing knives at me every time, I'm going to try to...
Do you
to
like be, it? That's,
no, yeah, is I'm going to be with people who are a little more civil toward me.
That's fair, but I feel like there's almost instances where it may... And I'm not... I have no idea if this is the case or not, but I could understand a mindset where when he is reading the letter of the law on cases like this one, allowing public health officials to make decisions and issue orders to prevent a public health crisis, that maybe he sides with them on drop boxes so that he gets less of those daggers. I don't know. It's an interesting politics of the court right now for these seven justices in Wisconsin because the Hagedorn upsets both liberals and conservatives with the swing status that he's kind of taken on. And so I don't think it's good for democracy, but he's getting it from all different sides.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to Pat Rogensack or Rebecca Bradley's Christmas party. I don't think he's getting that invite somehow.
I doubt it. But it's definitely an interesting mindset that and we reaffirm the fact that a lot of law and order people at the beginning of the pandemic said, you can't tell me to wear a mask. You can't tell me a lot of different aspects. And so I'm glad to see that we're going to have the ability for county and local officials to be able to make these decisions because that's super important. And a silver lining in Supreme Court decisions from earlier today.
Yeah, this is a really good decision, and it protects our public health. It ratifies the public health department of Dane County and Madison that they've been doing a good job and a legit job in their exercise of their authority to keep us safe in this community. That's what you want public health departments to do.
Yeah, and we only got a couple minutes left in this segment, Matt, but one of the other ones I wanted to get your opinion on, see what your thoughts were. The opinion earlier this week that got released about open records and the inability for groups now to be able to recuperate legal fees, essentially. Attorney's fees.
Yeah, and so this makes it much harder for groups and for citizens to file open records requests if they don't have a ton of money. Because a lot of times you'll do it because if you win, you get the attorney fees back. Mm-hmm. But now if there's no guarantee that you're going to get attorney's fees back, even if you've got a great case that your open records rights have been violated, you're going to have to think twice or three times as to whether you want to spend money on lawyers or be stuck with a bill at the end of the day. And so even though you can demonstrate that you've been harmed by it and that the open records laws were violated, you still can't collect your lawyer's fees. That doesn't make any sense to me. And I think it's a real chilling effect on the open records laws. And I think this was a really, really bad decision.
Yeah. So that decision out earlier this week from the Wisconsin Supreme Court effectively, you know, kneecapping a lot of open records requests here in the state of Wisconsin. And I mean, open records requests, Wisconsin was a leader in that regard. Like we were lauded as a bastion for transparent government. And unfortunately, more decisions like that one this week and the actions that we're seeing out of a certain special counsel's office for just, you know, completely ignoring open records requests here in the state of Wisconsin, doesn't really give me good faith.
But he may have to pay a price for that, I hope so.
Hopefully. Well, Matt, really appreciate you joining me this afternoon. Appreciate the insight and all of the hard work that you're doing for democracy over at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Really appreciate you stopping by Dueling Tangents. Please come back again.
Anytime, Luke. It's always a pleasure.
Pleasure to have you on. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian this afternoon, on Devil Radio 927 FM and the Shaw 101 FM. We will be right back. You give and give again. It's times like these you learn to love again. It's times like these, time and time again. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I want to thank again my guest, Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. I had to let that song play out a little bit. That intro is too good to talk over. So, yeah.
You ever see them troll the audience with this tune? Word has it Kurt wasn't the biggest fan of this song, so they would start it repeatedly throughout shows. You know, they would start the song, play the first 10 seconds, and then just play something else.
I love it. I had not have heard of that, but no, it's a good one. It's one of the most iconic intros, I think. Ever. So I can imagine, though, with how popular it got, it's not like, you know, grunge isn't one of those things where you want the popularity.
That's the whole point.
It's one
right?
of those things where it's part of that punk culture that's like you don't want to be mainstream, and then once you get mainstream, you're almost, you know, a little upset that you're mainstream.
Honey Badger, so, don't care.
Yeah, that is awesome. I'm always a big fan of a little trolling, you know, a little friendly trolling like that. What's the big deal? No harm, no foul. It's an interesting story, Evan. But yeah, I've been listening. Some of the news, this is a little insight to the way my mind works, is the angrier I am about some of these headlines, the more kind of harder rock music do I listen to kind of like, just, you know, you need a little extra pick me up sometimes. And so some Nirvana, some Foo Fighters today. We got a little Rise Against slated up for coming up next too. So, you know, we're just rocking out here on Dueling Tangents. You can join the conversation 844-967-2789. No Brian this afternoon, but appreciate Evan filling in on the board for me. And appreciate Matt Rothschild stopping by, because, you know, the news coming out of the Wisconsin Supreme Court is the end of the term. We're going to be hearing a lot of these decisions. I believe the three today are three of the final ones. We might get a few more, but I believe they're wrapping up now, with this one being a month from tomorrow is the August 9th partisan primary. And so drop boxes are not going to be something that voters in Wisconsin can utilize in this partisan primary in August and in the general in November. I don't understand how some outlets are like, oh, this is a blow for Democrats. I just don't get it. But I guess if you see everything through a political partisan lens, that's the only way that you can write the headlines sometimes. But I want to dive a little bit more into, you know, some of this partisan infighting, because the partisan primary is right around the corner. But before I do that, I'm going to talk to one of my friends. We got Jeannie of Eau Claire calling in. Jeannie, what are your thoughts today on this Friday afternoon?
Well, I'm very proud of my president. Biden starting to take some action against the fascist treatment of women. So I was really excited to see that he's at least taking some steps and he's showing whose side he's on. Boy, I'll tell you something about the Supreme Court of the state of Wisconsin. That is nutty, because there's a, you know, they think, oh, you know, people don't get their ballots in some, you know, there's a lot of areas in our state that are mail goes all the way to, I think, St. Paul on my side of the state, and then it comes back to Eau Claire. So your ballot could be gone quite a while before it gets in. And there's a lot of people, you know, who can't take their ballots in, who are disabled, elderly people who, you know, don't have a lot of people to take them with their walkers and get them in into the place to deliver their absentee ballot. That is just ludicrous. I these people, we got to vote them out. That's all I got to say. They're asinine. I hope that's an okay word to use on the air. But
oh, that's a 10-cent word to use on the air, Jeannie. That is absolutely good to hear. A quick question for you. What are your thoughts on Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, is there's reports coming out of her office that she is going to bring forth the legislation to codify Roe v. Wade back into law again. They failed in the Senate earlier this year, did not have enough senators, specifically Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, to approve it then when the leak of the draft of opinion came out, signaling the Supreme Court was going to overturn Roe. But she's going to put that on the floor of the House again next week, along with some legislation, it sounds like, that's going to be trying to codify the aspects, the other threats that Justice Clarence Thomas made in saying the Supreme Court needed to overturn other decisions like Obergefell and Lawrence and of that nature. Do you think that's the right strategy that we should be taking? Should we be putting those things on the floor and having more votes on them?
Yes, because I think people need to be aware of the issues. Our local presses, unfortunately, I don't know where their heads are at. It's in the sand or else they don't care about how they've impacted history or are about to impact history, not covering these issues significantly so people have information so that they can draw on their own conclusions. So by bringing it up, it forces the press to have to cover it and get these situations out to women. Because I don't think a lot of people are really, really thinking of the significance of, you know, of the reversal of Roe v. Wade. And then to even put people in danger. I was glad that President Biden brought up the 10-year-old, was it? Yeah, that was raped. My God. You know, I mean, that's really cruel. I mean, there are so many women who have been attacked and they don't say anything and they feel bad about it and their lives are significantly impacted. I don't think people realize what women go through throughout their pregnancy. A lot of them get really sick, or a lot of different things happen. Stress happens. You know, maybe they'll have bleeding. You know, I mean, this is like a really big assault on women. And I remember years ago, I did some papers. I used to like to do more interviews versus research, and I interviewed ministers. And there was a law on our side of the state in the Catholic hospital that they had to save the life of the baby over the life of the women. So people were going to the other hospital to have their babies. And the priests and the ministers that I interviewed thought this was just horrible. You know, here the kids would lose their mother, you know, and at the expense of a baby. And who takes care of the new baby? And I got one more thing to throw in there as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we pay attention to the white supremacy issue here, which I think is significant. There's a lot of women who can't have babies, and there's a lot of people who are trying to get babies, and I know of several of them who went to other countries because they wanted a baby, and that even got difficult to do. So I think, I hate to say it, and I'm sorry, ladies, but I think there's a lot of women being selfish there that are supporting this kind of bill so that they have babies to, you know what I mean, to offer to other people. I mean, it's sick, and it's not a good thing. And even the rape and incest, just that drives me bananas because those poor women suffer, and to make them go through this is just like, it's abusive, and it's criminal, and I don't know what else to say, guys, but I'm proud of my president today. I really am. He's doing everything he can for the people in our country, and vote blue no matter who, and I hate to say that because I've been independent my entire life, but God darn it, Republicans are not what they used to be, and they're scary, and we got to get them out everywhere. So anyway, guys, I'm sorry. You have a good day, okay?
Nothing to be sorry for, Jeannie. We appreciate your call. I hope you have a great weekend. Jeannie makes an excellent point. The Republicans are not who they used to be, but these courts are also not who they used to be. The courts are actively trying to make legislative decisions, it seems like, from the bench. And it seems to me that the not only the U.S. Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade, but the Wisconsin Supreme Court weighing in and issuing this 119-page opinion that says, compares absentee ballot drop boxes on the street of Hayward, Wisconsin, of Green Bay, Wisconsin, of Kenosha, Wisconsin, comparing an absentee ballot drop box outside of a clerk's office to a ballot box being stuffed by dictators in Iraq or North Korea is just outstanding to me. And I find it ridiculous, and I find it a very, very worrisome sign for what's to come. Up next on the calls, before we dive into some of the partisan politics updates here in Wisconsin, we got our friend Bill of Oconomowoc calling in. Bill, what's on your mind today?
Like everybody else, is the Supreme Court's overreach and decision to stop being a court and just start legislating bills and reversing things all because it's a stacked court. Well, there are ways of overriding the Supreme Court. Biden just proved it. We can do it. We can do it with the Supreme Court. We need people to say enough's enough. We know what you're doing. And there are other reasons for motivation. I'm convinced this is part of it. The January 6th Commission is really opening a can of worms that the Republicans can't put the cover back on. So the Supreme Court is all they have left to get their way of living forced down the throats of the majority who don't want it. And if we allow the Supreme Court to keep this up, I don't believe it's ever happened quite. I know it's happened to some extent. I'm not a historian, but I don't believe it's happened to the extent it's going on now, especially with the midterms coming up. It's as evident as anything what they're trying to do. But we have two choices, is lay back and let it happen, or say, no, no, you're not going to get away with this. We know what's going on. If you ever read Newt Gingrich's manifesto on We Are at War with the Democrats, this is all calculated. This is predicted years ago. This is nothing.
They've been broadcasting their game plan, Bill. This is something that they wanted. They knew that if they got the votes on the Supreme Court, that they could overturn doctrines like Roe v. Wade. And the Supreme Court, at the first opportunity to do so, with the makeup that we currently have, with after Justice Amy Coney Barrett was confirmed, it was the first thing they went to go after. The first session after having that makeup on the court, they went after it. And it's very troublesome to believe. And there are periods of history that we know the court has been expanded. It has not always been 9 members on the U.S. Supreme Court. It was moved to 9 when they had 9 circuit courts. And so maybe it's time to add a couple more to get to 13, which is how many circuit courts we have now. And there needs to be conversations about that. And I appreciate you calling in, Bill, because I agree. We can't just sit down and take this. I've been feeling pretty despaired about the news in the last couple of weeks. I'm not going to lie. The news coming out of the Supreme Court, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, a lot of these headlines are beating people down. And I think it's important to take the time and the willpower that you need to wrap your head around the fight that is upon us. But something needs to be done, and you need to get out and vote, and you need to be able to call on your elected officials for not just movement on addressing judicial reform in America, but also, like you said, January 6th, we've got more committee hearings coming up next week as well, and those are going to be broadcast live right here on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and the Shaw 101 FM. And so you're going to want to make sure that you're staying tuned, listening to those, because there's still accountability that needs to be had when it comes to past instances of attacks on democracy, as well as looking forward to the attacks that are on the horizon. And so it's definitely a very tumultuous time right now. We got to be keeping our eye on the ball. We got to be focused on these issues, and we got to be talking about them as well, because unfortunately, this fight's not going anywhere. It's upon us. It's here, and we got to get ready for it. And I appreciate your call. You can be like Bill from Oconomowoc. Give me a call, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but I'm joined by Evan on the board and my callers calling in. But we got one more segment left in the day. I'm going to tease a little bit more of the story. We got some endorsements coming out of the Republican Party for that gubernatorial primary. I'm going to dive into that as well as get to you callers. 844-967-2789. Let's let Kurt and the boys take us out to this next break. Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. Got Evan on the board. Brian is off improving, you know, our signal quality here on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM in Madison, holding down the fort in the Solidarity Realty Studios, as well as on the Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM in Waukesha. Taking your phone calls at 844-967-2789. We've discussed a number of the decisions out of the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the U.S. Supreme Court earlier this week and from last month. I'll be taking your calls. But one quick update I want to give everybody, some of the headlines. We got some endorsements in the race for the Republican nomination for governor here in the state of Wisconsin. Former Governor Tommy Thompson weighing in on the race. Today, Tim Michaels' campaign announced that he had received the former four-time governor's endorsement. Which I don't think comes as a whole huge shock for a lot of people. Back when, before Michaels got into the race, Tommy Thompson was considering whether or not he wanted to do another run as well. And he kind of indicated when he decided that he wasn't going to run, that he had discussed it with Tim Michaels. If he wasn't going to run, Tim Michaels was. And so Tommy Thompson endorsing Tim Michaels in the Republican gubernatorial primary, which is 1 month from tomorrow. But right after that announcement came some more endorsements as well in the Republican race. 50 different state lawmakers, Republican state lawmakers in the state of Wisconsin, threw their support behind former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, as well as the leader of the state assembly and the leader of the state senate. So a little bit of a divide coming in the Republican Party here in Wisconsin for who to nominate as their next choice to go up against incumbent Governor Tony Evers this fall. So very interesting to see how that race is shaping up. I don't know. Some would say Republicans in disarray. I don't know. It's a split party when it comes to this this little primary. So we're going to see. The gloves are off. I saw an update. They came after each other by name after Kevin Nicholson dropped out of the race earlier this week. But we got a number of callers stacking up, and I want to get to your phone calls. 844-967-2789. You could be like Millie in Madison. Millie, what's on your mind today?
So I want to call about the Moore versus Harper case that's going, the Supreme Court will hear it this fall. And what that case is about is the independent legislative doctrine. So if the court agrees, they've already agreed to hear that case, mm-hmm. but if they decide on that case, similar to the other shock and awe decisions that they have, decided on, and basically what that case will do is give power to the state legislatures to choose the president.
Power for the state legislatures to choose just about everything, if I've read the case summary correctly.
Right, but I heard that they were federal elections. And so, I just had a friend say, well, why would the Supreme Court come up with Roe versus Wade, that decision, which, made it unconstitutional, these
basically taking gun laws out of state rights. The separation pretty much stopping the separation of church and state. And my thought is, well, if they know they're going to be able to control federal elections, why do they care what anybody thinks, right? Why would the Supreme Court even care about what voters are saying? Because voters will no longer be able to vote. I mean, they'll be able to vote, but their vote won't be counted. So they can do all the crazy, wacky stuff that they want to do, whether it's the Wisconsin State Supreme Court saying that recent decision about leaving in a department head as long as they want to stay there because mm-hmm. the gerrymandered state legislatures won't approve a department head by somebody on the opposite party. Well, who cares? I mean, they'll just the Supreme Court now can come up with whatever crazy decisions they want because the people no longer will be able to, their vote will no longer be counted. And even if Biden fills the court with five more justices, you have to have all these cases coming up through the system from the state courts to the federal courts.
It's going to be very interesting, Millie, how if we are going to get judicial reform done in this country and reform the judiciary so that it can operate properly and be held accountable to Democratic voters in this state and in the country, we're going to need to act on it quick. And I appreciate your call. You can be like Millie in Madison. Give us a call. You can be up next. We got Jesse of Madison calling in. Jesse, what's on your mind today, man? How are we doing?
Jesse of Madison. Thanks for having me. Look, there's the old axiom, and I know a lot of us are downtrodden, but don't mourn, organize. There's a reason that every year, campaigns that are being run correctly, at least, or activist organizations are knocking on doors and making phone calls. We do it because it works. We do it because it increases voter turnout. And especially in an off-cycle election, it's more important than ever. And I know a lot of people that have volunteered for us in the past have said, well, I don't want to preach to the choir. And I always say the same thing is, yeah, the choir doesn't always show up for church, man. So we are, our group, the Madison Isthmus Neighborhood Team, is holding our first event of the season tomorrow at the Solidarity Realty office at 1150 Williamson Street at noon. Everyone's invited to come down, come knock some doors. If you've never done it before, we'll get you trained up and send you with somebody so it's not so awkward. You want to make some phone calls, we'll have that too. But we are, I've never seen this much enthusiasm this far out. People are itching to fight back. And it's very heartening. And it's going to be effective. Francesca Hong's going to be there. Tell everyone you know to come down.
All right. That is an excellent way to end the show on this Friday afternoon, Jesse. Appreciate your call. You heard it, Jesse, organizing tomorrow at the Solidarity Realty office, not the studios, at the office. I'm in the studios. But it's an excellent segue. Something you got to get up and do something. This song is called Architects. It's... ask the question of what kind of role you want to play in the fate that be something about what you want to create. And it's an excellent song by Rise Against. And Jesse, I appreciate your call because we need to take action, and organizing is a way to make some sense out of all the terrible news coming out of the world nowadays. Folks, this has been Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Appreciate you listening today. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. Hopefully Brian will be with me a couple shows next week. But we'll be back on Monday at 2 p.m. Talk to you then.